Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Matchball Podcast for the Blackburn home win at Elland Road. I'm Dan Moylan, with me, Michael Normanson.
Hello.
Moscow White's here as well. Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
And we are supported by Levi's Solicitors. You'll get 10% off your legal fees if you mention, when you inquire, the Square Ball. Get in touch with them via levisolicitors.co.uk. Another home game, another win. Getting a bit easy, this, isn't it? Another Bamford goal.
Another one.
Added to the one he scored on the opening day of the season.
That's right.
It's been a while. Penalty as well, I mean, does it really count?
Oh, come on. If we can't give him credit for the penalty, let's talk about his assist, because his assist was great.
The assist was great.
He had a good game today, didn't he, to be fair to the guy? Apart from the offsides, but other than that, really in really good form. And did it look like a weight had been lifted after he scored?
I don't think it looked much the same as he always does, I thought, after that. But it was a good job he did score, because, Christ, if he'd missed that penalty, things would have imploded slightly.
But fair play to the man for putting himself on the line to do that, because, you know, some players would have hidden away from that.
Yeah, he obviously wanted it, because as strikers should, I think, if you've not had a goal in ages, the old thing about you need one to go in off your arse or something, but a penalty is the easiest route to a goal.
That's exactly what I was going to say. May as well take the easiest chance available. It's like it's like sitting a 5-year-old's math test. To prove, I don't know, I'm being, no, and it was, you know, yeah, the worst case scenario, if he'd missed that, who knows what would have happened. But I think it says a lot that his name was being sung as he prepared to take it. The whole ground is there in favour of him. Despite my hate campaign, then he popped it away beautifully. And then minutes later, yeah, with the confidence up, trapping that pass from
Phillips.
Who passed it to him? It was Phillips, wasn't it? And then a lovely little layoff to Jack Harrison. And it was good. And then, yeah, and spent the rest of the game basically being twatted around by dickhead defenders. I preferred, in a way, to him scoring. I enjoyed him getting right in the face of Elliot Bennett right at the end, where he just... And the referee was actually pushing Bamford backwards away from him. There was nothing violent going on. He was just determined to get in his face and keep talking to him, and the referee was pushing him back.
They did get quite narky towards the end. I think it's because when you're trying to push for that late equaliser, and we just had the ball for the entire 5-6 minutes, whatever it ended up, of injury time, and you can see the frustration was there for him, and it was nice. Some click annoyed someone as well. I can't remember what he did. I think he went to take a free kick. Wait, the player ran forward. He then complained to the ref. Then as the player went to talk to the ref, he then took the free kick. And I think that really annoyed him. It was a great little...
Wonderful.
It was very low-level way to upset someone, but I think it nagged him.
It's that kind of low-level, marginal, niggly annoyance. That's the kind of stuff we love and we encourage. And congratulations to him for celebrating.
Clinch is an absolute specialist in this sort of field.
Celebrating his new contract by being a shithouse.
Yeah, some of the niggling was beyond niggling, like Pat Bamford. I didn't see exactly what happened, but there was a big shout and he went down and he was indicating as if he'd been whacked in the neck off the ball. And a couple of our players were... Ayling was blocked off the ball towards the end as well. And
Ayling.
Well,
we'll
yes.
come to him in a minute. But
and there was then the Click ended up having that that Barney with number 22 with Lewis Holtby, when it was again, Bamford got hit in the face again in injury time. And then off the ball, Click and Holtby were... something was going on between those two. And the one that really annoyed me, and this is Blackburn's kind of shithousing, was in the first half, Phillips was stopped from taking a quick free kick by Adam Armstrong. So he kind of... and he wouldn't move. So he kind of played the ball really fast around him. It's like, right, well, we'll just ignore the fact you're there and play around you. And then in the second half, Phillips was doing the same thing of stopping a free kick from being taken, and the player booted it against Phillips, and the referee went, right, I will book Calvin Phillips for that. And like, come on.
He booked him for a slightly industrial tackle, in fairness.
No, he booked him for blocking the free kick.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until the player kicked the ball against him.
Oh, it was, yeah. No, so the tackle came in and you thought, maybe that's a yellow for the tackle, but it wasn't. It was the resulting kicking the ball away or whatever, wasn't it?
Well, having the ball kicked against him, as far as I could see, which was, you know, he was owed one by their number seven in the first half.
Yeah, well.
It's unfair.
Well, to be fair, that game, it took about sort of 10 or 15 minutes to get settled and suss the pattern of the game out. We're seeing that repeated pattern again, aren't we? Where we just let them have the ball a bit, figure out where the opportunities lie.
I was listening to you. I'm just doing like an expected shithouse calculation in my mind now to see where Leeds versus Blackburn rated, who had the expected shithouse score.
X shit.
And carry on.
Quite a lot. I was going to say there was quite a lot of wayward passing in that sort of first half of the first half, but then it sort of turned, didn't it, when we started getting in the ascendancy and that penalty was, I mean, it was weak. It was probably just on the right side of the line for a penalty, but...
I've not seen it back yet. Was that...
So he
looked like he ran into the box and they just kind of ran into each other.
In essence, Ayling didn't have the ball under control.
No.
But he was travelling in the same direction as it, after it, and would have got there, I think, in the end. Defender stuck his leg out to try and intercept it, but realised he wasn't going to get it, pulled his leg back, but not far enough, and brought him down. It was very weak, but...
Ayling is an absolute master at winning a free kick. So maybe that's the secret to us going up. We just need Luke Ayling in the box, because he wins at least three or four free kicks a game normally outside of it. So
the Ayling, the classic Ayling.
Just get him in there and get three or four penalties a game.
It looked instinctively like a penalty first watch. It looked like the player has kind of had got the situation under control, but then just seemed to trip him. So I don't want to watch any replays that contradict that.
His leg was hanging and it was a penalty. It was just a very soft penalty. But under letter of the law, it's a foul and probably a red card.
You don't have to break somebody's leg every time.
This is true. And then it was, you know, good to be 2-0 up not long after that as well. And as you say, we've just touched on the quality of the move, but that long raking pass from Phillips, brilliant first touch from Bamford, and then Harrison slotted it in.
And we should, again, I'm not disregarding your question, but Tyler Roberts' little chip into Ayling for the penalty was a beautiful little move as well. The kind of Hernandez-esque, dare I say it, creativity that we've lacked now and then without either Roberts or Hernandez in the team. And then, yeah, Phillips with that long pass into the box for Bamford, and he did very well, and Harrison finished it well as well. It was like three Leeds players doing three good things in a row, and we scored. It's almost like we're a good team.
I thought this first half was strange because there have been so many first halves where we've had loads of good chances and played really well. We didn't actually play that well, I didn't think, for the majority of this. We had a few good, decent moments where things happened, but it's not like we were having chance after chance. I think the Bamford one was more or less the first chance we'd carved out from open play.
Kind of got a question on that. Do you think now, and in light of the fact that the game management seems to be slightly different, like in the second half, we're not doing that gung-ho thing that we've spoken about on recent podcasts. We seem to be trying to contain a little bit more and be a little bit more conservative with a small C, except in Bamford's case, and manage it slightly differently.
I think the pragmatism was there in the last few minutes as well. There was a bit where we were playing out the back. I think it was Ayling got it, and ordinarily you'd expect him to look back inside and play either back to the goalkeeper or play it to Ben White or something, but instead it just twatted it up the line like an old-fashioned Gary Kelly ball. Just knock it into a channel because in the last minute of the game, that's fine when you're already winning. Like you can be a bit wasteful with possession. Just get it up the other end. And then I think Tyler Roberts ended up picking it up and it wasted another couple of minutes.
Yeah, there was a really good Berardi hoof as well that ended up...
Dad Snow on it.
But Bamford brought it down and it wasn't far away from being an assist if Bamford could have made a little bit more of it, but it was a great touch bringing it down and it made Berardi's just whacking it forward look like good pass bearer.
I very much enjoyed when he first came on. I think it was the first kind of one-on-one tackle that he had near the tunnel when he absolutely twatted that ball into touch, didn't he?
He was aiming for the Fullerton, wasn't he?
I've arrived. That was great. Returning back to the first half anyway, so we're 2-0 up after 35 and then piss weak goal to concede though, that wasn't it really, but very Leedsy kind of. I know we don't concede many, so we can't really bitch and moan too much, but it was weak.
Stuart Downing's good at corners.
And we're bad at receiving them.
Yeah, it's the perfect storm, really, wasn't it?
So that was a bit unfortunate. And it changed the pattern of the game because there was a point when I thought this could be the one where we run away with it. But
Well, yeah, I tweeted when we were 2-0 up that Leeds were going to win the football match, and I kind of, obviously within 5 minutes we'd conceded, and I was like, for fuck's sake. But but yeah, it was a tricky one. We were worried a bit, not worried, but we were definitely having to deal with what they call Bradley Dack and who's the other striker, number 9, Sam Gallagher. And I was just looking at the average positions, and they pretty much played as a front two. And we were man-marking after a few minutes. Phillips went and marked Dak and did very well. And then it started with White against Gallagher, because Gallagher sort of started out on their left, and White at some points was, Ayling was inside him, and White's over on the touchline marking their striker who's playing on the left wing. So it was all very, and I think Cooper then took over the job of Gallagher. So there was definitely this thing of, we have to keep an eye on their two good players.
Although Gallagher's first touch, I have to say, was horrendous. There were a couple of occasions where it was played through to him, and if he'd a good first touch, he might have been able to get in on goal, but it ended up about 20 yards away from him on both occasions.
Yeah, you can see why they're down there as well, because they conceded possession very, very easily in so many areas.
Yeah, there was a spell, it was between 15 and 20 minutes. There was about 5 minutes when, I don't think the ball went out of play. If it did, it didn't do it for very long, and the teams were just giving the ball to each other. It was like attack, loose possession. And it can happen sometimes when you're up against a team like Blackburn, you get drawn into like how bad they are. Your own passing gets confused by the fact that their passing is really bad, and everything just goes a little bit off. It was once described to me as, because you can kind of predict what a good player is going to do, because they're going to do the good things. So it's like, oh, you can prepare for that. But a bad player is a little bit more random, so you can't really prepare for where a bad player is going to stand, so that it kind of throws you off a little bit.
The Hadi Sacco.
Yeah.
Experience.
So trying to defend against them, you'd think, oh, well, they're going to go inside me, and then suddenly they're scrambling through your legs, like, upside down. Oh, well, I did not expect this. So it can just put your own game out of sync. So I think we had to do some, as we do in most games this season, it does seem that we spend the first 10-15 of looking at what they're doing. We have our plan that obviously started with White is going to follow Gallagher, and then it's like, well, if Gallagher's going to play on the left wing, we can't have Ben White out there. So it's working all that out. Ben White, Bielsa has his little cup of coffee, and I think, and then 15 minutes he says, right, this is how we win the game. Yeah. You give the ball to Pat Bamford, he will score.
And score he did. Just returning to him, because we kind of we got sidetracked. But do you think that is the monkey off his back a little bit now in terms of scoring? I mean,
well, when did he last score in open play? Eh, the loser. I'm kidding, obviously. Hopefully, and he seemed very pleased with it. I've seen the photograph of him that somebody kindly tweeted it at us, where he looks very pleased with it in a physical reaction.
It's reminiscent of that scene in Anchorman. Where Ron Burgundy has a massive erection.
I mean, yeah, that probably, you've painted a picture with words there. Yeah.
It looks a lot like Pat Bamford with a massive erection.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's maybe just been caught on the flap there, you know, like the photographer's just snapped it as he swung forwards.
Possibly. You need to be careful with that. VAR would call you offside for that.
But if that's, you know,
his head's offside. No, his other one.
if he stops having a rush of blood to the head when he's through on goal, instead gets a rush of blood to what Eddie Nketiah would call the lower abdomen, it might give him the boost he needs to get a goal, girding his loins, literally.
And yeah, just to return to the pass as well, and Harrison's finish. Do we think Harrison had a good game today?
He was very good. Still frustrating in parts. There was one where he shot across goal. He was out on the left hand side, shot across goal. He could probably have just laid it in for Bamford to tap it in from about 2 yards.
Well, that was the one of about 82 minutes. I think I've scribbled it down. Yeah, if you see the replays of that, it was moving at such a pace, the whole move, and he did well to get it, I guess, across the keeper. It would have been quite an ask, I think, for Bamford to get on that, maybe.
Oh, would it?
Yeah,
no, fair enough.
Possibly, yeah, because I thought the same. I thought, oh, he should have rolled it across, but
there was one on 50 minutes as well that he shot over the bar, and Matches Click certainly had an opinion.
And, that was where Costa broke through midfield, didn't he? And
yeah.
Costa played well, actually, today.
Well, we'll speak about him in the second half, just to return to Harrison. It's funny that his first touch, I thought, today was a little bit off, when normally that's absolutely shit hot. And the kind of thing I was angling towards is, are we seeing his decision-making improve? not necessarily on
Matches
this.
Quick doesn't think
well,
so.
Well, no, I'm not going to say on the evidence necessarily of this game. I meant just generally this season. Do we think that we're seeing an improvement?
I think he's improved just overall. I think everything's improved slightly. I think he's still frustrating because he gets the ball an awful lot. He can beat a man. He's always in the best position to put a cross in and they don't always go to anyone. But I think the crosses have improved. His shooting's improved. His decision-making has improved. They're just not quite as good as you want them to be still. But that isn't to say he shouldn't be in our team because he's one of the most productive bits of it at the moment.
Yeah, if he doesn't score, he gets an assist. And so you can't really argue with that. Every single game he's played, the last six or seven games, it's a goal or an assist, and that's great.
I mean, you can't ask for much more with the winger, can you?
No.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at UH1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And as we sort of hinted at there, we'll talk about Costa now, if we may. He seems to be improving a little bit. Do you agree?
I thought so. He was actually running at people today, which he's been frustratingly shy on that sort of stuff, because the clips you saw of him after we bought him, and from the vague memories of him playing against us, he was just running at fullbacks all the time, and he seems to have been limited on that, whereas I don't know if he just decided Blackburn have got a shit defence and he was going to punish them. But yeah, he was good today. I thought he's, again, a little bit like Harrison, maybe some of the decision making was not quite as good as it should have been at points, but you know, overall I think if him and Harrison play like that every week, they'll trouble most defences in this league.
So there was a really nice run on about, I think it was about the hour mark, wasn't it, when he broke inside our half and came out of a bit of a tangle with possession, and then went into their half and nearly, I think, did he nearly score or nearly cue somebody else up?
I think that's the one where he played it through.
Yeah,
Harrison,
the Harrison one, I think.
Wide, we just mentioned it. It looked like, I didn't see exactly what he did, but it looked like some kind of fine trick that he pulled off in the centre circle that fooled everybody, and then he was through, which is what you kind of want. You want those bits of magic from him, and he's starting to do those things. He is still, you wonder when you're going to get like an assist or a goal from him. He doesn't yet look like he's got that sort of incisiveness that Jack Harrison has added, but he's not looking like the passenger he was in his first couple of appearances. So maybe it is all down to that idea of it takes a bit of a while. It takes a bit of a while to get used to playing in a Bielsa team.
I think so too. Yeah, we have to. I think we get so caught up in the urgency of needing to get promoted this season, and we absolutely tear ourselves to pieces, don't we? If we drop points at all, but we're in a bloody good position, and maybe he just does need a few months just to get fully up to speed and to gel with the team.
Costa as well. I mean, the money he's coming for isn't probably helping him much, because if we'd paid £1 million for him and he was coming in and playing like this, people would be chilled out about it. But as it is, he's rightly so, there is a lot of expectation on him because he's the most expensive player we've had since O'Leary days. So yeah, he does need to improve, but he is doing so, let's forgive him.
You don't get a player of that quality anymore, though. That's the thing. For 16 million, how much of Harry Maguire does that buy you these days? You have to get very lucky to get like a really, really top player for for anything, for any kind of money, really. It's all a bit weird. It's the transfer market. So it does put a lot of sort of extra pressure on him. And I know we were referring to it last week when it's like Bamford is £25,000 a week striker who should be finishing what I would perhaps describe as £10,000 a week chances. And so it does come through, but it's not as, the fee is kind of, we'd have to spend 25 million upwards to get Calvin Phillips. How much is he worth?
How much is Ben White worth?
Calvin Phillips is worth £100 million. Ben White, nothing more than £1 million. That's what I want to see with our transfer valuations.
Yeah, yes, that seems fair.
We really want to see that from Brighton. Mm. That needs to be their opinion. Oh, yeah, Ben White. Yeah.
Well, you got? Did see that shot that he ballooned over the bar today. Terrible.
Eh? Did you also see his Maradona tackle?
I did, but we don't talk about that. We talk about the one he ballooned over the bar because hopefully they won't want him back and they'll think he's shit.
He's so good. He's unbelievably good. I can't believe that Brighton didn't want him.
I keep waiting to sort of find out what the catch is.
When he goes back to Brighton, that'll be the catch.
Do you remember last year, Janssen? I liked Janssen as a player, but every game it was like last-ditch tackles and roaring into the crowd and just a lot of drama. Mm. There's none of it with Ben White. He never touches the ground with a tackle. He just steps in front of the defender, takes it off them. Even today, because Gallagher must be at least as big as him and probably a few stone heavier, he still kept getting the better of him somehow. I'm not quite sure how he does it.
I don't know if it's him that's done it as well, but Cooper, bless his rotten injured legs, was a lot, was noticeably kind of up to his level today. Mm. Really good on the ball. Doesn't overplay it. That's where Pontus used to go wrong, is he'd come charging out of defence with the ball at his feet and then he'd go beyond the limits of his ability, whereas Cooper has just developed this business where he's got a really good first touch now and then can play an intelligent pass and he doesn't try to do much more than that, but he's just got so good at that it means he's good at finding the player he needs to give it to in space and get the pressure off us as well.
Sorry I had to talk over you. I was just going to say it's a microcosm of a Bielsa team, isn't it, that? And just do exactly what your job requires you to do and then give it to the magicians who can make things happen.
But in some respects, it's like teaching a dog to talk. Like 2 seasons ago, you'd never have predicted that Liam Cooper would going to be this cool ball-playing defender who's using, distributing the ball intelligently from the back to relieve pressure. You just prayed that he would hoof it away from goal and not into it.
But now he can turn and pass it to Ben White as opposed to passing it to Scott Wootton, which must help.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's why I kind of think having him alongside him and having the whole philosophy of the team around him has just helped him get to this level where he's playing really well. And then, yeah, as soon as he went into the Scotland team, he looked fucking atrocious again. So it's...
But that's why this is where I think the tactics, we can't underestimate the tactics and the brilliance of Bielsa, because there was a moment where, do you know when I think White and Cooper were passing it between each other in the first half, I think it was in front of the Kop somewhere, just on the edge of the box, just biding the time, back and forth. And they gradually got further and further apart, which allowed Phillips to just drop back in and then collect it when the time was right. I just thought, it's just brilliant. It's just having that outlet, knowing how it works, the shape. Exactly. If us two dick about with it back here, they'll get drawn into pressing us. And then Calvin Phillips just comes and picks it up in acres of space. And it worked. And maybe that's the beautiful thing about what Bielsa does.
I really enjoyed Luke Ayling playing from a pass from the right corner flag between 2 or 3 Blackburn attackers to somebody on our penalty spot. Arrowed beautifully, absolutely perfect, really brave decision, executed the pass. I was less keen on it when he did it to the centre circle and just gave it straight to a Blackburn player 5 minutes later, but, you know, we don't get it right every single time. But, yeah, everything is... There's that calmness was prevalent in the last match, and it was there again today, although we only had the 1-goal advantage at the end. But... Harrison did something that I don't think I've seen a Leeds player, maybe I've not noticed it like where I've been looking on the pitch, but he kind of, he passed, we had a chance to break and he kind of paused and it wasn't a very good one. So he passed inside to back to Ben White, I think. And he kind of looked at everybody, he's doing a big calm down gesture with his hands. He's just like, let's just stay calm for, let's just have the ball for a minute. I was like, normally even this season, we'd be like, how are we getting forward here? Let's attack and get another goal. But instead, it was like, still about 10 minutes to go at this point. It's just like, no, we don't need to attack on this one. Let's just keep the ball and we'll find another way forward. And it's really good if we keep just winning at home like this, even if it's by one goal and even if it's a bit nervous, and we don't have to learn how to defend corners. It just doesn't matter.
The game management is very, very good. And then in the context of that second half, which, to be fair, Michael, it descended into a bit of a grind.
I thought we were played better for a lot of the second half than we actually did in the first. I thought the opening half hour of it was only for the last 10 minutes it became us seeing it out, which is absolutely fine. But I thought actually we had put some nicer moves together in the second half. The first half felt like almost a normal championship game, that there were misplaced passes. Like, I noticed them from Phillips, the Ealing one you mentioned. Klitsch also did quite a poorly misplaced pass at one point, which set them on an attack. And it's not what we're used to from this Leeds team. But the standard is now really high. Like, if it had been a Steve Evans side, a few misplaced passes in a half, you'd be quite pleased with that. Whereas we've come to expect that we actually will use the ball properly now. And we weren't up to quite our usual standards, but then we scored two goals not playing up to those usual standards. The championship has a large random element to it, which I don't think Bielsa's quite happy with.
But he tries to eliminate it by his process, doesn't he? That's the thing.
Yeah, but today showed that, you know, we've played much better in first halves before and scored no goals. So we need to play worse, is what I'm saying.
Our pass accuracy was 81% today. We did 401 out of 495. Blackburn's was 50%. They managed 118 out of 234. So we did more than twice the number of passes of them and were 30% more accurate with them. So even when, I think it's because some of those, when we do fluff them and we kind of give the ball away, it looks more significant than a team like Blackburn, who just, they just give you the ball back all the time. So it doesn't stand out as much.
And I think we forget, don't we? We've been spoiled a little bit this season and last season with the Bielsa football, and you kind of forget that actually a lot of the championship gives the ball away a lot.
50% strikes me as incredibly low.
Welcome to the EFL. Well, that was one of the, related to this, Graham Smith in the YEP went through some statistics from this season and pointed out that I think we're one of the lowest for bookings. And if we had, apart from Berardi's red card that was rescinded, I don't think we've had anybody sent off. And that we give a really low number of fouls away as well, relative to the number of tackles that we put in. And there's this sort of steely discipline within it, which when you look at the results in the rest of the championship today, like Barnsley lost 2-4 to Stoke, of all
people. You don't get 4-2s, do you?
No.
Sorry, go on.
Preston won 3-1 at Huddersfield. QPR Middlesbrough 2-2. Wednesday Swansea is 2-2. Wigan versus Brentford, 3-0 to Brentford, but two red cards, and everything looks chaos. And then just in the middle of it all, you've just got West Brom 1, Hull City 0. So they're top of the league and, you know, doing a similar thing. And Leeds 2, Blackburn 1, where it's just like, yep. And bear in mind, Blackburn mugged Gary Monk off last week with that last minute winners, and then they did they concede again, or was like a big chance that Wednesday had to equalise. None of that today. We got ahead, we conceded a stupid goal from a corner, and then it was just
see the game out.
Yeah, it's not even to see it out. We were much better than them all through the game.
What you said about game management.
I mean, they didn't have any chances I can remember.
I don't think I wrote down the word save once today, even from their keeper. We either put it wide or...
He had that one about 5 minutes from the end where Tyler Roberts broke through and twatted it from distance.
Yes, he did. And there was the moment in injury time, there was, or with a couple of minutes to go, there was just a game of, it was 2 minutes to go. The EFL happened in our penalty area, where it was just head tennis everywhere and people scrambling and clearances hitting each other's backs. And it was like, oh yeah, this is the championship, isn't it? Thanks, Sky Bet.
Quick word then on sort of heroes and villains, early candidates before we choose them in a couple of days' time when we re-record on Tuesday. What we're thinking for outstanding players today, maybe anybody who did bad by us.
Jack Harrison, thought it was excellent, and just keep, like I say, just get an assist or a goal every game and we won't criticise you too much.
Pat Bamford, just get an assist and a goal every game and we won't criticise you too much.
Villainy, the Blackburn commentators that I know a lot of people watched on streams were quite something today.
What was their main issues?
It was all a bit Millwall-y. I think what was quite clear was it was fun. Somebody likened it to being hospital radio where the two guys hated each other, which really tickled me. where one of them was constantly having to correct the other one because he was ridiculously biased in favour of Blackburn. Oh, he's giving them everything. This Leeds team, well, they're not the Yorkshire Galacticos, are they? Stuff like that. It's only Ben White and Liam Cooper. And you're thinking, hang on a minute, you pricks. We're nearly at the top. You're nearly at the bottom. And we've conceded the fewest goals in the division. So just be careful about what you're saying.
I was looking at some of what the Square Ball had been retweeting of those comments and the ones where they said, if you take the possession out, everything else has been equal.
Yeah.
We had like 7 shots and they had none.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it looks, I'd quite like to get hold of a copy of that commentary and enjoy the game again. I have a hero nomination, the bloke with the really loud voice who was in the West Ham today, because the West Ham's normally quite sedate. But the thing, the gantry is at the front of the roof and there's a big gap behind. And I think this guy must have been sitting at the back of the West Stand, probably underneath me, because it sounded like he was behind me shouting. His voice was that loud, kind of booming up into the roof and then being forced forward over my head. And he was, when Holtby went down with his head injury that the game got stopped for, worth noting that when Bamford went down with a head injury, the game did not get stopped. He was giving him absolute dog's abuse. And then also after Leeds had conceded that corner, I could hear this echoing from the tin of the West Stand roof. It was like, wake up, Leeds! So that was good. And I think he tried to get a song of Pablo Hernandez going at the start of the second half as well, which is a bit of a random thing to do in the back of the West Stand. But good effort. And your voice was loud and heard.
Loud and proud. And maybe he was just looking down at Pablo and thought, that man deserves a song. Because he got a song before he came on.
Jack Harrison had his song sung today as well. I thought that was quite nice. So,
what's that going like these days for anyone?
It's a Steve Morrison song, but Jack Harrison, so we mean it. It's nice. I was singing today because Helder Costa had to do the walk of what would have been once shame, where he was substituted off on the other side and had to walk all the way around in front of the cop. And I was just imagining the days when fucking Morrison or somebody had to got dragged off in disgrace after 60 minutes and walk in front of the cop.
There was an attempt at a song for him as well.
Helder Costa?
Yeah. Helder. Although the bloke I stand with did shout Hilda Ogden at the end of it, which I enjoyed an awful lot.
I mean, that's worthy of a heroic nomination.
It's very true.
Anybody else that sort of come to your attention today then?
I'll give Tony Mowbray can have a villainous nomination for also having a loud voice. I don't know what it said. It was a bit weird in the last sort of 5 minutes of the first half. Everything seemed to go dead quiet and you could hear all the players shouting and you could hear, I heard a distinct no foul from Mowbray when there was, I mean, the ball wasn't even in play. So it's bad enough having to look at Tony Mowbray, let alone hear his voice echoing around the quiet Elland Road.
We've mentioned him a couple of times. This isn't really a hero or a villain nomination, but what happened to Lewis Holtby? Because England and Germany were kind of grappling over him at one stage.
Oh, is that the same one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think he played for Germany then, but England wanted him and he was, because I think he was born in Germany to English parents and stuff, and he was going to be the next big thing, and he's still in his 20s and now at Blackburn. What's happened, Lewis?
It's not a good sign, is it? Also, villain Liam Cooper's thighs, whichever one it is that's hurting him, should stop.
Well, in fairness, though, we do have the international break now to rub those thighs and make them better.
Are you volunteering?
How little he doesn't want to go play for Scotland. If I go down, with a few minutes, 20 minutes left.
Yeah, one of those injuries where you just ruled out for the international break, but you're back afterwards. Yeah,
Snoddy's retired now, so it's not even fun, is it, going there? There's no reason to do it. I'm just looking up your Lewis Holtby's career record. His club's Aluminium Aachen, Schalke, Bochum, home of Thomas Christiansen, Schalke again, Mainz, Schalke again, so some loans in there, Spurs, Fulham, Hamburg, no team, and then a free to Blackburn. He appears to have gone from Hamburg to Blackburn on a free after a £6 million move.
Wow.
Crazy world. And I don't know. Should we nominate him as a villain for not fulfilling his potential in Germany? Who else?
Especially as we're celebrating the anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Slight lack of villains today, actually. There was no one really annoyed me.
Well, that's kind of what we're doing, though, isn't it? We're kind of just managing games and seeing them out, and it's fine.
Their centre-back for looking a bit like Carlton Palmer. Big gangly centre-back. As you know, that's where Carlton Palmer played, Moscow. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. and all their players who kept whacking our players in the face off the ball. That seemed unnecessary.
we deplore violence.
Well, there was a lot of it about. There seems to be an edge of sort of just shitness in that, which, I mean, Bamford, you'd say what you like about him, but he's pretty. He doesn't need a, he doesn't need some ruffian's elbow in his, on his beautifully sculptured nose.
I know he's sort of mindful of his quiff and how it appears.
Well, exactly.
Regardless.
And Bamford can have another nomination for his, for getting in that guy's face at the end when he clearly had enough. And it was nice that the final whistle blew just like within seconds of them having this, this carry on, and they gave it, they had a big hug, hugged it out. Just goes to show that what happens on the pitch, as long as you all have a drink afterwards, and Bamford can't get his rugby mind set off, can't switch it off. He should have lamped him. In fact, villain. Bamford's a villain for not punching that guy out.
Your agenda continues.
I was going to say, the one thing he seemed, couldn't get his mind off was his bloody Pornhub habit by the looks of it. Like that trouser tent that he got. Anyway, we will digest our thoughts.
All he needs to look at is a replay of that penalty going in.
We will digest our thoughts across the next sort of 48 hours.
And hopefully
hours.
Lose that train of thought.
Yeah. And we will reconvene and talk more about Patrick's penis on Tuesday on the regular podcast. Thanks for listening to The Match Ball. We'll speak to you in a bit. Ta-ra.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.